Okay. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, as-salatu as-salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. How's everyone doing? Alhamdulillah. It's beautiful weather this week. I hope everyone's enjoying it, right? Alhamdulillah. It's like amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's been like 70s like all week long. So, you know, this was, I was kind of joking around. Not really joking. It was actually pretty serious. But I was literally talking to one of our team members, and I was like, you know what? Everybody complains about how hot it is in Dallas in the summertime. But I'm like, this is also like the give and take, right? Yeah, it's like hot, really, really like sometimes unbearable in the summertime. But like, it's literally February 1st and or 2nd or whatever. Yeah, February. And literally, you guys are in 70 degree weather all week. I mean, this is like unheard of. So, alhamdulillah, grass is always greener. I hope everyone, inshallah, is enjoying their time in this awesome, awesome weather. All right, so we are going to continue on, and as you guys are going to notice, this is going to be really interesting, which is that as we continue on with this surah, before we would like cover two ayat, maybe three ayat every single session, we are going to start now covering more like one per session, just because you can see how in-depth the actual verse is. It's like extremely dense, all right? And each verse from now until the end of the series, which inshallah should be by the time that Ramadan starts, each verse is filled with like four or five lessons each, okay? And so literally, you know, I always say to people, Surah Hujurat is incredible for multiple purposes. One of the purposes is that it's extremely, extremely comprehensive. It covers pretty much like every social issue that a person can go through in their life, right? If you live within a community, a family, you live within an ecosystem where you have to interact with human beings. I mean, this surah quite literally covers every corner possible, and it doesn't leave anything to interpret to the mind, right? And this is one of the blessings of our religion, right? A lot of people, they will kind of look at other religions and say, okay, you know, like they talk about God and prayer and, you know, the faithfulness that you owe to Allah and etc. But Islam has an entire surah talking about not like mocking and belittling people. I mean, this is an incredible, incredible part of our religion that I think a lot of Muslims, sometimes who are born into it, end up kind of taking it for granted. It's like just normal to us, but I want you all to know the first thing for today is just appreciate it. Just appreciate the extreme detail that Allah gives us in Quran that is so rare in religious texts, right? In any other religion, okay? And so alhamdulillah, it's a point to kind of reflect over and just and appreciate. So today, we're going to talk a little bit about the idea of mockery and ridiculing people. We're also going to talk a little bit about the idea of perhaps the people that a person ridicules and mocks, the fact that they may actually be closer to Allah than the person who's doing it is. And then inshallah, at the very end, we're going to talk a little bit about the idea of when a person repents for the mistakes that they've made, right? The sins that they've committed. What should be the attitude or the behavior of the people around them, right? Allah very beautifully illustrates, right? Like what the expectation is of a community that is around a person who may have committed certain mistakes in their life, but they have now kind of amended their ways. They have kind of like made you know, differences in their lifestyle and changes in their life. And how do we kind of handle that as a community? All right. So, inshallah, we'll begin. So Allah, He begins and He says, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu." Again, you guys notice here like a very common theme in the surah, which is you're a believer, right? The standard that you're held to is higher. You are not a regular person. And again, not a means of us feeling better than other people, but a means of us holding this really, really incredible trust that we have, that we all carry around with us. The fact that you are a Muslim, right? So Allah addresses us as Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. When you'll see in the Quran, Allah will sometimes say Ya ayyuhannas. That's when He's referring to like humanity as a whole, right? Like everybody pay attention to this. But this particular point, or these particular points, Allah will mention you specifically, because Allah will not say Ya ayyuhan nas and then follow with the conversation that we're going to have today, because Allah knows that when you take upon yourself أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. There is a standard that you carry yourself with that the rest of humanity just doesn't. And again, don't feel arrogant about it. Feel honored by it, right? Like, because I carry these words within my heart that I believe in Allah and I believe in His Messenger, there's no way that I can be, I can have a standard lower than other people. I have to hold myself up high, because that's the expectation of a person who believes in such heavy reality, right? So Allah, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Then He says, لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. Okay? He says, don't let a group of people, and particularly He mentions both men and women actually, you'll find it really interestingly here, okay? He says, let not a group of men scoff or ridicule or belittle another group of men. Okay? And He says, عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ. Because perhaps the person that you're making fun of may actually be better than you. And then He says, وَلَا نِسَاءٌ مِّن نِسَاءٍ عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُنَّ. And do not let a group of women ridicule another group of women, because of the same reason, that the people who are the victims can actually be better than the people who are the suspects. Okay? Now, what does this mean? Okay, the Prophet ﷺ, he actually, in his tradition, illustrates to us what it means to like scoff or belittle. Okay? So he says, Al-kibru batalul haqqi wa ghamsun nas. He says that arrogance, right? Al-kibr, the feeling of arrogance, comes from batalul haqqi, from refusing the truth. Okay? Like, you live in this like delusional world. That's where arrogance is, right? Like, when a person is arrogant, I mean, everyone in here has probably encountered arrogance to a certain level in their lifetime, whether they've seen it on somebody else, whether they've caught themselves going through a moment of arrogance in their lifetime, whatever it may be. But I can guarantee, after that kind of moment was witnessed, you realize how foolish that moment of arrogance was. Like, I really thought that this qualified me to be better than that person, right? Like, I really thought that the fact that I went to this particular school made me better than that person. Like, perhaps I thought that having this job made me better than that person, right? These are the qualifiers that human beings sometimes kind of put in their lives, right? You guys ever walk into like a gathering and like, oh, my kid is going to like this school and my kid's going to that school. Where's your daughter going? And you're like, this, alhamdulillah, man, you're going to a college, right? But whatever you said was almost like scoffed at, right? And I remember growing up, you know, I used to always like kind of witness these conversations, and they used to always make me so uncomfortable, because it always leaves someone who's an incredible person look and feel extremely terrible about themselves. You know what I'm saying? And so the Prophet ﷺ, he says, Al-kibru batalul haqq. It's the refuting of truth. You're like this, you're like in La La Land. Like, you're this like person who's like made this false sense of reality for themselves, and they live in that sense of reality. They think that like whatever they qualify as important in their life, that makes them way better than other people. And sometimes people use religion in a really twisted way to make themselves feel better than other people. Oh yeah, like I'm like a masjid goer. What are you, man? You know, like Ramadan's coming up, right? How many times have people heard that stupid phrase, Ramadan Muslim? I'm like, what the heck does that even mean, dude? Like, we're all Ramadan Muslims. You know what I'm saying? Like, when people state those phrases, it really kind of like makes me think to myself, I'm like, oh, hey, welcome back, Ramadan Muslim. I'm like, aren't you happy to see this person? Like, aren't you happy that you're able to participate in like such an amazing, amazing community feeling? Like, why belittle someone like that? Like, why ridicule someone like that? Why make someone feel so much lesser because of something like that? Perhaps that person is trying to go closer to Allah, but you're ruining it for them. Right? بَطَلُ الْحَقِّ. And then he says, وَغَمْسُ النَّاسِ. And it is belittling people. That a part of refuting the truth is belittling people around you. Making people feel small about the accomplishments they have in their life, right? Oh, hey, what'd you do? Oh, I'm doing this and this and this. Ugh. Right? Like, oh man, like, Must be nice. And nowadays you have like the weird like kind of like the false like sense of like being nice, right? Like, oh, it must be so nice to be so free all the time. Me? No. Super busy. Barely get enough sleep. Like, I want the entire world to come together and just like applaud that person. Like, mashallah. We'll do one collective mashallah for you. Okay? Because you so deeply desire that praise and like that validation. You know, it's so subhanAllah, when you look at the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you'll find something very incredible, which is he never spoke about himself in like a lofty manner, no matter how high his maqam was. Right? And it shows you the tradition of the other prophets that came before him. Musa, Ibrahim, right? You know, Yusuf alayhi salam, Sulaiman, Dawood. I mean, these people were like, they were high up there in terms of like their status and their station of honor, their izzah, their karama. They were like up there. But never will you ever find them going up to somebody who they're teaching about Allah and that person denies it and they're like, how dare you? Do you know who I am? Like, if I can't do it, nobody can do it, right? I mean, this is so, it's so false. And you'll find that tradition, people who are confident about themselves, they don't have to be the loudest people in the room. They don't have to bark the loudest in the room. They don't have to talk about what they do constantly. Because, alhamdulillah, they're so overwhelmed with gratitude to Allah. That's what their confidence does to them, right? People of true confidence, they don't have to talk about it because they already know that Allah Ta'ala has given them so many blessings in their life that all they do is Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I don't have to go out and flex. I don't have to go out and like show people that I do this. I don't have to like put under like my Instagram bio like this entire like lengthy thing that I am. Like, oh, I'm the co-owner of this. Habibi, no one's heard of it. Like, you know, this entire thing, right? The people who truly, alhamdulillah, they know where they are, they know their confidence, they don't have to prove anything to anybody. This is the reality of confident people, right? And so the Prophet ﷺ, he says, well, ghamsun nas. These people, in order for them to feel better about themselves, they have to put other people down. That's like a part of their like self-bettering process in a really weird, twisted way. They feel like, I can't like, and subhanAllah, you know, there's a very famous alim who says something that's very powerful about this, that these people who do these things and they feel this way, they truly misunderstand Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they feel that if somebody else is kind of like similar to them, that they're not unique anymore. Like, oh, like if Allah gives us another person the same exact kind of like accolades that He gave me, like there's not enough room for two of us. You know what I'm saying? So they have to compete with that person. But a person who is confident with Allah, they know they're like, yeah, alhamdulillah. And they're like, yeah, there's like 8 billion other people that have done a lot of similar things to me. And but guess what? I'm happy. I'm content. You ever ask yourself, like, what's contentment? And what does that mean? To be content with yourself, to be happy in your life. What does that mean? It means to not have that feeling of competing with other people, and by doing so, putting those people down. Right? Ghamsun nas. And you know what's really funny? The word ghams in Arabic, like linguistically, it means to like bury. To like basically like plunge something like underneath the ground. To bury something underneath the ground. Like you are so like not confident in yourself. So in order for you to look like you're the only person standing, you gotta basically dig other people into the ground around you so you look like the tallest person in the room. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ, he describes, right? So be wary of belittling other people, all right? And he says, why? Particularly in this surah, he says, عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونُوا خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ أَوْ وَخَيْرًا مِّنْهُنَّ, right? Perhaps the person that you're belittling is actually better than you. Like you're out here making this person look like a fool to the public, but in reality, they are closer to Allah. They're way closer to Allah than you are. So now, not only do you look foolish, but you're actually hurting someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. You know, all those people that used to mock and ridicule the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca, right? Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl, you know, all these people that used to kind of like
mock the Prophet. They used to call him, what did they call him? They used to call him horrendous names, right? Oh, he's just like a magician, man. He's like a poet. He's just like good with like twisting words and blah, 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 all that stuff. When the Prophet's son passed away, okay? Al-Qasim, when the Prophet's son passed away, they would say about him, huwa abta. Like he's cut off. He's cut off. Like there's nobody that's going to like basically carry on his legacy after him. They used to say all these awful things about him. But they never realized, oh my gosh, like I'm insulting a person of God's like love. You know when you see a person who's close to Allah, I know everyone's kind of witnessed this in their lifetime, right? Like a elderly person or a pious person you know in your community. Like what do you want to do with them? You're like, I just want to like get close to them. I want to talk to them, right? Just kind of like, just man, like just benefit from being around their company, right? I want to benefit from being around them. Man, if like they pop in a dua for me over Dhuhr, like I'm game. Alhamdulillah, right? Like your du'as are so valuable. So I want to be close to you. I don't want to ridicule and mock you. Because you could be better than me. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet he says, specifically in the narration, he says, this is particularly why human beings have this false sense of attributing quality to the wrong things. He says, inna Allah, right? That indeed Allah does not look at your appearance, nor does He look at your money. Inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum wa amwarikum. Like God doesn't look at your appearance, your suwar, nor your amwal, your money. Like this is stuff that human beings put stock into, right? Yeah, man, like what's your salary? What'd you start at? What degree did you get? Oh, liberal arts. Goodness gracious me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heal you. We do this to people. It's really sad. And this surah is so interesting because it talks about like mockery, because everyone has this like, I'm just joking around. It's not that big of a deal. I've heard people it's so mean. Like I've heard people go up to like graphic design major, like, oh, that's cool. Like, so like you draw for a living, huh? Like that's really nice. Like, why would you do that? Like, why would you do that? Like, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you the worst doctor of all time. Like, why would you put somebody down like that? So like, you know, we have this tendency where we attribute to ourselves these false sense of like quality. Oh yeah, like if I do this, if I get this degree, then I'm going to be this person or that person. So the Prophet says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَى سُوَرِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ. Allah does not look at those things, man. You could be the most beautiful person in the world on the outside. You could be the most wealthy person in the world in your bank account, and Allah could care less. وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَى قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Rather, Allah will actually judge you. Allah will look at, Allah will see your قُلُوبِكُمْ, whatever's within your heart, وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ, and whatever deeds you've done with the goodness of your heart. Because I'll tell you, a person can have the world's weight of gold in their bank and can be completely robbed of any khayr on the day of judgment. And a person can be very kind of low in their monetary value in this dunya, and on the day of judgment you'll see that person sitting on a mountain of gold. And that gold is not the gold of the dunya, the gold is the gold of iman and the gold of their deeds. And the person who used to have those millions of their bank in the dunya, they'll look at that person and be looking up at them for the first time in their life. Because they used to look down at everybody from their, you know, lifestyle, their cars, their this, their that, their clothes. They used to look down upon everybody around them. And on the day of judgment, those same people will be looking up at those who they used to look down upon in the dunya. Right? So don't be so quick to pass judgment on people around you. Okay? And, you know, particularly here, subhanAllah, Allah mentions both men and women. And, you know, something that's really interesting here that the scholars, they mentioned, is so powerful. Because one of the scholars, they asked, like, why would Allah not just say, like, oh people, right? Oh qawm, right? Don't mock or ridicule or belittle other people. Perhaps they're better than you. Why did Allah mention, like, rajul, like in men, and then nisa in women? And you know what's so interesting? The scholar, he said, like one of the mufassirun, he said, because men and women ridicule each other differently. Think about what guys dig each other for. Think about what girls take shots at other girls for. It's not always the same, right? It's not always the same. There's different qualifiers of what people put value into. Certain men will take shots at other men's, you know, masculinity or whatever it may be, and certain women will take shots at other women's ability to do whatever they do. I mean, it's all very specific. Because shaitan is focused on trying to create the most harm, right? So the more specific a person can be in their rudeness and being like lewd and uncouth with people, the better shaitan is at his job. So he specifies, oh, if this person is struggling with this, you should take a shot at them for that. Like, don't be generic. Like, be specific. Go at them for that. Y'all know people who just like pick and pry at somebody? Like a person's like, you know, their weakness, like a spot that's sensitive for them. There may have been something that they went through or like a moment that they struggle with, and there's a person who just knows. They just know that part of the body, and they're just going to kind of twist the knife, right? Because I know that's exactly where it hurts. This is such a shaitani trait, y'all. It's such a shaitani trait. To like know people's weaknesses and exploit them. You know, subhanAllah, we'll talk about this, you know, in a little bit in our session, but one of the wisdoms that one of the ulama shared is that if you are a person who has been made aware of another person's weakness, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you a responsibility. Like, you know this person's vulnerable. You know this person's vulnerability. Don't abuse it. Don't abuse it. You can actually help this person heal, rather than hurt this person more than they've already been hurt, right? It's so incredible, subhanAllah, okay? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, and He says that, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَا تَنَابِرُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ بِئْسَ الْإِسْلَامُ فُسُوقُ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ. So the first thing He says is, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا, okay? And wala talmizu is really interesting because it literally means like, do not basically defame one another. Do not defame one another. Okay? Min anfusikum. Like yourselves. Don't do it to yourselves. And one of the scholars wrote something really interesting here. He says, you know, this idea of lams. Lams is basically using your tongue to harm other people. Okay? Anyone ever read that surah? It's in Juz Amma, it's really short, so it's in Humaza. Allah, He says, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ, right? أَلَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَ يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ, right? What's that surah all about? Allah mentions hams and lams. He says, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ, right? Humaza, hams is the basically kind of like the idea of like going after people, like always trying to find faults within people. And lumaza is the actual like action that the tongue does to make it happen, right? Spreading gossip, spreading false rumors, talking bad about a person's weaknesses. This is what lums is, okay? Like people going around and allowing their tongue to be the reason why they never enter Jannah. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu used to walk around and he used to hold his tongue and he used to say, hadha, hadha, like this right here, this right here. And then he's like, what? What do you mean, Abu Bakr? What are you doing? He said, this is the thing that's going to get me into hellfire. Like this thing right here. It's not going to be like anything else. It's not going to be my lack of salah. It's not going to be my lack of, you know, fasting in Ramadan. It's not going to be my lack of paying my zakah. It's going to be this and the damage that it does. How many times have y'all witnessed in your lifetime relationships being broken because somebody said something about another person? There was no punches thrown. There was no physical harm done. But the word that a person mentioned about another person completely ruined that relationship. And the reason why Allah stresses the damage the tongue can do is because that damage is extremely hard to actually undo. You know, like when you harm a person physically, right? Like that wound heals. It's like a part of the miraculousness, like the mu'ajiza of like the human body. It's part of the miracles of the human body. But when a person harms another person via the tongue, that pain sometimes lasts forever. It lasts forever. There was a moment in which you know, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the beloved wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was like a gossip that was spread about her. And again, like this is, it proves to you that it's not like a new age conundrum, right? It happened during the time the Prophet was alive. That, you know, there was, a'udhu billah, this gossip going around some of the munafiqun, the hypocrites of Medina, that, you know, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ had done certain immoral things. Oh, like, why was she seen with that person, right? Like, why did that happen, huh? Like, does it sound familiar to you guys? Like, it's like modern day, right? I saw her at the mall with a guy. Who was that guy, right? Like, I'm going to make it my life's mission now. Like, Zuhr? Never heard of her. Who's that guy, right? Like, Habibi, focus on your prayers. Like, don't worry about that person. Hey, like, even if that person's wrong, like, what? Why are you snooping around about it? What are you gonna do about it? Post some stupid generic tweet about it? Like, I don't know. Like, what are you gonna do about it? Like, that's not the way that the Prophet ﷺ would have addressed it. First and foremost, the Prophet ﷺ wouldn't give that person 70 excuses. The Prophet ﷺ would have given that person every excuse in the book before he assumed something that was guilty of that person. And then the second thing, if it was something that was wrong, that was verified, because what do we talk about? When news comes to you, make sure that you verify it, right? Make sure that you validate it, that it's not something that's false, because you could ruin somebody's life with that news. Now if you validate it and verify it, number two is, make sure that you are even in a position to correct that person. How many times have people seen other people catching somebody doing something wrong, and all of a sudden every single person becomes a sheikh? And then for some reason, some dumb dude goes on like TikTok live at like 12 a.m. and says that women are allowed to take pictures on their camera rolls. This hit home, right? I mean, like, wallahi, I'm telling you guys right now. I'm telling you guys right now. Wallahi, I had the hardest time not going full troll mode on those videos. Like, my wife was sitting next to me and she saw me like laughing. She's like, what are you laughing at? I'm like, please, Ya Allah, give me strength, Ya Allah. I like people sitting talking about these bakwas things when there are Muslims in the world who are struggling with their salah. No, you know, women should not take pictures on their camera rolls. Why? Because the Apple CEO has access to it. I mean, bro, if Tim Cook looks at my personal camera roll, man, you earned it, bro. Like, that's a lot of work. I mean, this is the extent that we've gone to as an ummah, man. Like, how sad is it? How sad is it? Like, we're sitting around circles talking about these things when people's fadl is in question. Like, people are struggling with things that are obligatory for them. So, the Prophet ﷺ wouldn't even, like, he wouldn't even go near that. And even if you're a person who is qualified to address it, then you would pull that person aside and say, hey, you know, in the best manner possible, hey, because I care about you, I wanted just to make sure that, like, you're doing okay, right? That's the way that the Prophet ﷺ would address it. A man came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked him permission. Ya Rasulullah, give me permission to commit adultery. Literally, it was used to speak. The words that he said were as such. And the Prophet ﷺ, he told him, hey, come sit with me. Come sit with me. Let's talk about this. Do you have people in your family that are also, you know, women and, you know, sisters and a mother, cousins and aunts? Don't you? And yeah, of course I do, Ya Rasulullah. Well, then how would you feel if a person came to me and asked me the same question, but geared towards a person that was in your family? And that same man, he says, when I entered, you know, that question, there was nothing more desirable to me than the shahwa that I had in my heart, the desire that I had in my heart. And when I left the company of the Prophet ﷺ, there was nothing more appalling to me than what I wanted to do when I walked into his company. I mean, you see, like, the difference that, like, being beautiful with your process and methodology can do for a person. Like, what if that person went and completed, like, their Maghrib Salah and their Isha Salah and did, like, beauty to their obligatory prayers the rest of the night, because the Prophet ﷺ was beautiful in the way he handled that situation, right? So, وَتَلْمِيزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't defame one another. Don't defame one another. Don't take shots at one another. Anfusakum, right? Anfusakum, by the way, means like, it, like literally in Arabic, it means like yourselves. Allah didn't say, don't defame them, or don't defame like the people around you. He said, don't defame yourselves. And there's a very beautiful reason as to why. Because, he says, one of the scholars, he says, that when a person, they understand the true meaning of Iman, of Islam, what it means to be a part of this religion, they know by defaming the people around them, they're actually defaming themselves. Anybody ever heard the hadith, love for your brother what you love for yourself? So if you're okay doing that to somebody next to you, you're okay doing that to yourself. Plain and simple as that. You're okay spreading gossip about the people around you? Okay, sounds good. You should be cool spreading gossip about yourself. Because that's the standard of a Muslim. That's the standard that you hold yourself to. You should love for them what you love for yourself. You should hate for them what you hate for yourself. But if you're doing that, that means that's the standard that you hold yourselves to. Okay? And then one of the scholars gives a very, very beautiful, beautiful lesson here. He says, and this is why we've derived the maxim. And in English, the maxim reads, you yourself have faults, and the people around you have eyes. So the moment where you feel like you can just go around picking like other people around you apart, know that those people who are you picking apart also have eyes that they see with as well. And this is why there was a famous poem. It was like a couplet that was written in Farsi. Beautiful, beautiful couplet. It said that as long as we were unaware of our own faults, we looked at the faults and failings of other people. But when we started looking inwardly at our own faults, there remained no sinful person in the entire dunya. You can like translate that poem. It's beautiful. Like as long as we neglected our own shortcomings, like yeah, everybody was sinful around us. Right? Oh yeah, like that person has that problem, and this person does this wrong, and that person lacks in this and that. Oh yeah, all these people are problematic. The moment that I took into consideration my own setbacks, I didn't have a single minute to think about the faults of other people. I was too concerned about my own. And this proves another very beautiful social point about being a human being, which is the more you busy yourself with your own development and your own maturity as a Muslim, the less time you'll have for just like nonsense stuff, man. The less time you'll have to pick at other people. The more bored you are, the more you'll notice all these other things that are probably none of your business, that have nothing to do with you, that have nothing to benefit you with. Why do you know it? Oh, I just know it, man. It's because we don't spend enough time looking inwardly. We spend way too much time looking at other people. Wasting time, wasting days. How many times have we woken up all day and we've neglected things that we were supposed to do, but because we had all that free time, we engaged in so many things that just brought us no benefit. It killed our time. We're scrolling on Instagram for like 2 hours. Oh, did you know this person did this, and that person did that, and that person was this, and that person was wearing that? I mean, you know, like that entire, subhanAllah, you know, I always wanted, like, always wanted to share this with people, is that that entire ayah in the Quran that talks about lowering your gaze. Allah, He says, قُلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Tell the believing men and women to lower their gaze. Allah never once mentions if they're wearing this or if they're wearing that. Like Allah's command is regardless of the people around you. Like Allah doesn't say, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, establish your prayer, if everyone around you is praying. Nah, if no one's around, just praying, then like, all right, take it easy, you're good. No, no, no. The command of Allah is to do X, Y, and Z. If you are so bothered by the people around you, or you are so like concerned, and not concerned in a good way, just concerned in an entertaining, curious way, then that means you are not doing justice to the life that Allah has given you. You have your own life to worry about. You have your own deeds that you'll be held accountable for. You're not going to be asked about that person who is doing X, Y, and Z. Allah's not going to say, hey, you know, Maryam, why did you allow that Muslim woman that lived in Valley Ranch to like go out there and do X, Y, and Z? Allah's going to be like, no, I'll talk to her. We will talk, I will discuss with her why she did certain things. Maryam, Khadija, Muhammad, Amin, why did you do what you did? And did it positively affect the people around you, or did it negatively affect the people around you? Okay? And this is why, subhanAllah, you know, very, very beautiful statement here that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, I would not like to even scoff at like a dog, lest Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turns me into one. He goes, I didn't even have time, like after these ayats came down, I didn't want to be little animals because Allah, I was afraid that Allah would turn me into that. Don't be surprised. Like, what, you know that phrase, like what goes around comes around? Like, you look around at the faults of other people, just don't be surprised if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to fall into that same trap. You're so obsessed with their life, oh, Allah will give you their life. Ibn Mas'ud, he mentions that, it's very, very beautiful. And then he said, subhanAllah, he says after here that this is why, you know, the following was given to us, which is the final part of this ayah, where he says, وَلَا تَنَابَرُ بِالْأَلْقَابِ بِئْسَ الْإِسْلَامُ الْفُسُوقُ بَعْدِ الْإِيمَانِ وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Then he says, do not defame one another, nor call each other by names that would be offensive to them. How evil is it to act or remind a person about their flaws and faults after they have found faith? And then he says, whoever doesn't repent from these, they are truly the ones who are wrongdoers. Now, I'm going to pause here, inshallah, for a second. And I wanted to get a little bit of kind of feedback from y'all and conversation going with y'all. What are some of the harms, right? I'm going to, inshallah, have you guys talk to people around you. What are some of the harms that can come about from a person bringing up past sins and mistakes of a person who they're around? What are some of the harms of that? Why is that so frowned upon in our deen? To bring up past mistakes of a person. Why is that something that is spiritually harmful for a person? I want you guys, inshallah, talk to the person next to you, and then, inshallah, I'm gonna call on some of y'all to share some thoughts and reflections, inshallah. Bismillah, go ahead. So, what are some of the harms? Why is it so pressing in our deen that a person doesn't bring up the past mistakes and the past, you know, setbacks of another person? Let me hear y'all's thoughts, inshallah. Who would like to share? Bismillah.
What are some of the wisdoms? Yes.
I feel like it invalidates the person who's come so far as progress, and then it just kind of is like a belittling feeling. It's like, well, I mean, if people are only going to focus on my past, what's the point in like progressing?
Yeah, like for the person who's made it so far, it could derail them on their journey, right? Beautiful. Very good. Very, very good. Anybody else want to share, inshallah? Why is that harmful? Yeah.
It makes a person feel like they're only worth whatever their worst was, and not what their best was. So it kind of makes it feel like, what's the point of me trying to do good on whatever I might have done wrong in the past?
Yeah, exactly. You know, people begin to believe, right? And subhanAllah, you know what's so sad? You know, I don't know if I've ever shared this story before here, but I've definitely taught about it before, which is, you know, the story of the two men that upon the migration of the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr, they would basically be known to like steal from like passing caravans. And so when the Prophet ﷺ, he went near that area, the Prophet kind of knew about them. He had heard about them. And so he asked, he said, hey, I know that you guys are like in this area. Like imagine going through like a really, really rough part of town. And there are a couple of guys or a couple of people who like just kind of like are known to like steal and make life tough for people who are passing through that area. And imagine like a person knows about it. So they're like, all right, you know what? I'm walking out here and I know you're here. So why don't you just go ahead and come out real quick. And so the Prophet did exactly that. And they were shocked. They're like behind their little like boulder. They're like, what? Like no one calls us out. We usually like, surprise, right? Like we do that. And so the Prophet called them out. And the Prophet saw somebody, says, come, let's talk. And they're just like, they're terrified. Because no one's ever treated them like that. And so he asks them, who are you? Right? Who are you? What are your names? And the answer of these two men will baffle you. Because it proves exactly what she said, which is, that when you tell a person long enough that they are X, Y, and Z, they'll start believing it. They'll start believing it. Even if it's not who they are. Like you go and tell somebody that made a mistake like 10 years ago, like, hey man, like you are going to always be known as this person. They'll start believing and carrying themselves like that. And so the Prophet, he asked them who they are. And they said, Nahnu muhanan. Like we are two bad people. And that answer, like it bothered the heart of the Prophet. That you shouldn't feel that way about yourself. That you're a terrible person to the core. We don't believe that actually, by the way. Like human beings are not born like that. In fact, we're actually born the opposite. We're born with fitrah. We're born with like closeness to Allah. There's this proximity you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only by like nurture does a person start believing things about themselves that have nothing to really do with them. And so the Prophet sat with them and said, no, you're not bad. You're not bad people. You just made a few mistakes in your life. It doesn't make you who you are. And when you start instilling that in people, you start healing the wounds that a person has had to live with for decade after decade after decade. So very beautiful. She said that this person begins to start believing these things about them, that this is who I am. No matter how much I try to improve and progress in my life, I'll always be known as that one person who did X, Y, and Z. Right? Very good. Anybody else? What else? What's another harm? Yes, this one then. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. So beautiful. There's actually a very strong narration that talks about this, where a person who basically, you know, denigrates a Muslim who has committed a sin of which they have repented for, right? So they made a mistake, sure. Every human being makes mistakes, but they made a mistake and then they made tawbah. They made istighfar. They asked Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. Okay? Allah takes it upon himself that he will get the person who belittles them for the sin that they repented for to commit that very same sin and expose him to embarrassment and humiliation in this world and in the hereafter. And this is found in Imam Qurtubi's book.
that a person who has repented to Allah, they've done a mistake, but they repented to Allah, and then you bring about that mistake again to them, Allah will allow you to fall into the traps of that same mistake. And not only that, there will be humiliation for you, because you decided to humiliate them. You see how poetic this religion is, which is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes into account every single thing that a person does, and doesn't let any of that slide, right? And so one of the things that, you know, we wanted to inshallah end with in the next couple minutes is when we look at other people around us, just function off of the premise that even if you know that this person made mistakes in the past, that this person has repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just function off that premise. If you function off the premise that everybody makes tawbah every night before they go to sleep, trust me, you'll have such a better time in this dunya in your interaction with the people around you. Because you will no longer see that person as this terrible human being. Now, am I saying just to automatically trust everybody, regardless of what they've done? No. I'm not saying to be best friends with them. I'm saying to not judge their spirituality based upon what they did. Wallahi, I've met some of the most beautiful, spiritually intact people who may not look it to the naked eye. And I have met some of the most spiritually dirty people who on the exterior look like they're absolutely Muslim. So what is the goal? The goal is to make sure to assume of everyone that whatever mistakes they've made, inshallah, they spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about it. Okay? And this also has another meaning, which is to not like call other people by names that they find offensive or rude, right? I mean, there was a famous story, and the Prophet ﷺ, by the way, always used to come to the defense of these people. There was a story of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who's a very kind of like, if you want to describe Abdullah bin Mas'ud like in a physical way, who's a very like kind of petite person. He was not like a big human being, right? It was not like Musa alayhi salam, who like in riwayat it shows that like he was a massive man, right? Broad shoulders. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he was a smaller person. So one time Abdullah bin Mas'ud, there's a hadith that he was climbing the tree that you get like siwak from. You know, like the miswak that you brush your teeth with. So he was on the tree where those branches were, and he was trying to like pick branches off to basically kind of like give to the companions. And so the narration mentions that there was like a strong wind that blew, and so a part of his garment that he was wearing kind of flew in the wind, and it exposed his legs. Okay? And, you know, it's so interesting how time has gone by, but certain like cultural things will just never ever stop being human. Like any chance that guys get to like take shots at their boys, they will take it. Like if you see like your boy trip up, you'll have a girl write about how it's an ick, and you'll have a guy talk about how like it was like the funniest thing they've ever seen in their life, right? So like Abdullah bin Mas'ud, like his garment's blowing in the wind, and so like I say, he's a petite person, his legs are small. So all these sahaba, these companions, they start laughing. Like they start laughing, and by the way, the Arabic of the hadith is interesting. It denotes that they were laughing like out loud, not just like kind of like internally. They were like laughing. And so the Prophet, he looks at him, he's like, "What are y'all laughing at?" And like, "Ya Rasulullah, we're laughing at his shins." Like straight up, like this is like the, well, this is a hadith. Ya Rasulullah, we're laughing at his legs. And the Prophet, he looks at Abdullah bin Mas'ud, and he looks back at the Sahaba, and he says, "By Allah, each of them will weigh more than Uhud on the mizan in the afterlife." On the scales in the afterlife. Shut it down. Close that door. Make fun of him now, right? Like, try it again. What other? Like, you want to make fun of his arms next? I'll give you another example of another mountain range, right? Like, he just, like, closed that door. He came at the defense. And this was Ibn Mas'ud. Take the example of a person like we just talked about made mistakes in the past. There was a person by the name of Ikrimah bin Abi Jahl. His father was quite literally a man who the Prophet called the Fir'aun of my community. And so after the Prophet ﷺ came back to Mecca, Ikrimah, being the son of a man who quite literally tried to kill the Prophet on several different occasions, Ikrimah was like, "Alright dude, I gotta leave. Like Mecca's Muslim now, like I just gotta bounce because like they hate me." They hate me. His wife had actually become Muslim, by the way. So there's like one thing holding him back. So he just decided to bounce for a period of time. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he was like, where's Ikrimah? By the way, think about this. The Prophet used to notice these absences. You know, like people that we don't like, we don't notice their absence. We're like, alhamdulillah, they're gone, ya Allah. Allah has answered my du'as. The Prophet ﷺ was like, where is he? Like, why is he not here? And the wife of Ikrimah, she goes, oh yeah, you won't be seeing him around. Are you kidding me? Like, what his family did to you, you expect him to stay back? He's terrified of you, Rasulullah. And she, in the Prophet does something very interesting. This is like almost a culturally, and like in Mecca and Medina at that time was a very cultural, like honorable moment. The Prophet took off his turban, like something he was wearing on his head, because whatever you wear upon your head is like an honorable thing, right? So he took off his turban that he was wearing, he gave it to her, and he said, I'm going to give this to you, go find him and show him this. Like, I'm this serious that I want to talk to him. Like, take like my gold watch, like it's like the equivalent of that, like it's like a collateral, right? Like, I want him back. And when she went to get him, the Prophet ﷺ, he looked at his companions, the Sahaba that were around him. And by the way, you don't think the Sahaba had like an ill taste in their mouth from Ikrimah's family? Oh man, like he tried to kill them. And the Prophet ﷺ, he turns to his Sahaba, he says, hey, when Ikrimah comes here, don't ever mention any of the things that his dad did. We don't talk about that stuff, man. Look, if he comes and he says, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, Ahli, man, he's one of us. He's one of us. We don't mention all the stuff that happened in the past like that. He might be trying to turn a new leaf. You do not want to be the person who is the hand that stops the leaf from making its full turn. You do not want to be the person whose words blow that leaf back over on its other side. You want to be the person who helps the turning of the leaf go full circle. Imagine on the day of judgment, Allah asks you, this person was so close to turning to me, but you said that one thing to them and they decided to go back the other way. How do you explain yourself, man? Allah protect us. Allah protect us. So the lesson from the final part of this ayah is to make sure that we are not people who fall on the wrong side of that coin. That we're always like making fun, ridiculing, mocking, calling people by things that they don't like. And then finally at the very end, Allah Ta'ala, He says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And for those who do not repent, because we just listed a long list of infractions. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. But even after all that, Allah says, tawbah, 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 tawbah. You made a mistake with somebody, make tawbah. Make amends. It's not too late. You're living, you're breathing. Don't bury yourself into the ground and say, oh yeah, it's too late, man. I burned bridges with like 80 people in my life. What's the point now? No, no, no. You're still waking up the next morning. As long as you are alive, it is Allah's sign to you to continue to turn back. Don't close the door on your life before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does it. Don't call it quits before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the angel of death for you. The only people who have cursed themselves until the end of time is وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُوبْ. They cannot find it within themselves to say, Ya Allah, I made a mistake. Please forgive me. As long as you can do that, there will always be amends and a way to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And inshallah, we'll pause here as the adhan just came in. So it's time, inshallah, for Salatul Isha. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from being people who belittle other people around us and elevate ourselves at the expense of other people's honor and their dignity. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from being people who mock and joke and make fun of other people to take them down. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to never allow us to fall into the trap of being people who feel arrogant about ourselves by putting other people down. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be people who speak words of goodness, of beauty to those around us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from ever falling into the same traps that we never thought that we would fall into. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be people of quality, of ihsan, of beauty, of iman. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to be people who radiate what it means to be a Muslim for ourselves and to those around us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa nashadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. InshaAllah. Just a little preview for everybody here. The next verse is going to be all about suspicions. Like thinking, oh, why this, why that? Inshallah, that's going to be inshallah next Thursday. I also wanted to share one thing with you guys as well. I don't know if you guys have seen, alhamdulillah, we are going to be hosting a really, really cool Ramadan prep program, inshallah. Not this Friday night, but next Friday night on February 9th. It's going to be a poetry night, inshallah, where people will be able to come, enjoy listening to y'all around you. You know, people have, mashallah, beautiful talent in this community. So come out, inshallah. If you'd like to perform a piece, then there's a form here at the bottom where you can basically kind of like submit that, you know, ahead of time. And that way, inshallah, we can kind of like look at it, make sure that everything is good. And then you can obviously, you know, perform that piece, inshallah, in front of everybody if you're brave enough to do so. But if you just would like to attend, there's obviously free admission for everyone who just like to attend and be a part of the event as well, inshallah. Tell the people around you, tell your friends about it, inshallah. We'd love to have a packed house on Friday night on the 9th. Inshallah, we'll see you guys then. The RSVP link is roomcfw.org/poetry night, inshallah. We'll see you guys next Thursday, and hopefully, inshallah, for this event as well. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.